Welcome to Christians versus the World. I am your host, Dr. Gregory Williams. Thank you for joining me. So I want to open up this podcast discussing what I think is a very important topic. I don't know how much attention is still being given to this topic, but it is something that I wanted to bring attention to and place emphasis on and have concern for this particular topic, so I wanted to address it. The issue that I'm particularly speaking of is the issue of kids being raised in supposedly Christian households. Now, I say supposedly because parents say that they are Christian, but oftentimes this simply isn't the case, and the children are going to pay the price for this falsehood or lie. Now, it is possible that the parents are Christians, but are not very good Christians. Or maybe they're not strong Christians. Either way, again, the kids end up suffering for their parents' lack of Christianity, their lack of maturity in the faith. Now, maybe these parents, again, are babes in Christ. Nevertheless, even if they are babes in Christ, you would still hope and expect that babes in Christ would be obedient to the word of God, and therefore they would do as the scripture says, for instance, in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, when it says, "And fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." Also in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6, "Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it." And one last passage here in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 and 7, it says, "And these words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your sons, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up." Again, you would hope that any Christian, that these scriptures and the importance of teaching their children the faith, and these scriptures would, again, be something that they are looking to follow. Now, I want to go in a certain direction here. Recently, I spent a few years working in a jail as a chaplain. Some say jail, some say detention facility in this area. But it was a jail, and I was the chaplain, and as a chaplain, I performed the religious duties, the religious role within the facility, and that religious role allowed me to have a unique experience in being able to engage the inmates and talk to the inmates on a lot of different issues, particularly when it came to religion, particularly when it came to just opening up about certain things. And so I do thank God for that experience, and I did try to take advantage of learning as much as I could to be of help, not only to the inmates, but to others that I would encounter, because I felt like being in that role really did provide this unique opportunity for me. So I'll get a chance to speak more on being in the facility and my time as a chaplain, God willing, in further episodes. One of the more interesting things that I encountered in talking to inmates was their supposedly Christian background. So I got a chance to talk to guys that had left Christianity for other religions like Islam. This was quite a few inmates, and this was typical. If an inmate no longer claimed to be Christian, then more than likely he would say that his faith was now Islam. This also will be a topic, God willing, that I will discuss in the future. Also, if the inmate still claimed to be a Christian, his life was so contrary to the gospel, it was really hard to take his claim seriously. So just imagine guys telling you yet that, and ladies telling you that they are a Christian, but when you go further in talking to them, you see how much of their life, how much of things that they say are contrary to the gospel and contrary, again, to our very identity as Christians. Now, this leads us to my point that I really wanted to get into, that regardless of how difficult it was for me to reconcile that these men and women claimed to be Christian and trying to reconcile that with their faith, it was still obvious that they had some exposure to the faith in the church. And now I'm not trying to say that their parents are the fault for the choices that their grown children went on to make. Nevertheless, I am saying that the inmates were particularly pointing out that, yes, I had been brought up in a Christian home, or I had Christian parents, or I was one who went to church or who was made to go to church. So then how or what do we do with that information if it is true? And again, even if some of the inmates were lying, you would still have to believe again that all of them were not lying. Now, let me say this. The issue is not about inmates. I'm using the inmates' stories or the issue that I was able to pick up from the inmates as a way of addressing something that's happening in the Christian body, whether that entails someone that's behind bars or not behind bars. It is going on. You have people who are coming up in Christian households who are not being taught the faith. That is the issue. So the issue, again, is not inmates, and I don't want it to come across as though I'm singling out the inmates, because the very things that I'm saying about inmates not happening with even people who are successful, thriving, they claim to know Christianity, but their life does not reflect it. These are ones who have left Christianity and joined other faiths. These are people who supposedly, again, were brought up in Christian households. How can that be? Now, certainly, we recognize that parents, again, could have done all that they could do, and their children still did not truly place faith in Christ. That is a real possibility in some cases, or that is a reality in some cases. But oftentimes, what I've seen and what I've experienced, and I'm not trying to say my experiences dictate truth. I'm not trying to say that just because I say it or my opinion, that it means it has to be that particular way. But I've seen enough to know that a lot of times what you do have are people who are claiming, parents are claiming to be Christians, and they are not bringing their children up in the nourishment and the instruction of the Lord. And that's a problem. Now, at this point, I want to go in a different direction. So we have our issue. We have our issue. We have, again, people who are coming up in Christian households, but parents are not teaching them the faith. So one of the things I wanted to do in this podcast was just give you a few suggestions as far as what parents can do to help their children to be obedient to the things that the Lord has commanded, to help themselves be obedient to the things that the Lord has commanded. Now, I know I said that the instructions or my suggestions that I'm about to give are for parents, but even if you don't have a child, even if you don't have children, these suggestions still will be good for you to be able to instruct others, for you to be able to use for yourself in regards to children that might be in your life that come under your influence, whether that is a niece, nephew, cousin, a family friend, or whoever, by you being a Christian, you still have opportunity to be a witness for Christ, to be that influence. Not only an influence on the child, but you can be an influence on the parents. Parents need to hear, Christian parents need to hear from their Christian friends, from their Christian relatives, that they need to do better. They need to hear at times when they're going astray, a Christian to come along beside them and say, listen, you shouldn't do that. Or, hey, you need to follow what the Word of God says here. That's if they are willing to take such advice. Some parents, again, you cannot say certain things to, and so I'm not advising you to throw your pearls out there before certain Christians, knowing how they might respond. But again, for those that are willing to listen, by you having sound biblical advice, this puts you in a situation where you could be used by God again, not only to influence the child, but to influence the parents as far as doing right and bringing their child up in the knowledge of the Lord. So here we go. First thing I would suggest to parents who are looking again to bring their children up in the nourishment and instruction of the Lord. Number one, first, parents need to make sure that they are truly saved, that they are truly Christian. Too many times I've seen people who claim to be Christian simply not understand or not recognize, or they have deceived themselves into believing that they were Christian, and they're simply not Christian. And I'm telling you, this is a shocking number of people who fall into this category. A lot of people do not know what it is or what it means to be Christian. People have a wrong understanding of the Christian faith. People have a wrong understanding of what it means to truly have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, this would be another topic that I will discuss in the future. But parents, you need to make sure that you are a Christian. You need to make sure that you understand what the Bible teaches about salvation. And let me go on and lay this out right now. While I'm not looking to do a podcast right now dealing with this topic, I do want to take the opportunity to say what the gospel is. And the gospel is placing faith in Jesus Christ, repenting of your sins and trusting that Jesus Christ has died on the cross for your sins. Faith in him. Scriptures like John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That when you believe in Christ, when you trust Christ, when you're saying that, Lord, I believe that what Jesus Christ has done on the cross is sacrifice for my sins. And now I'm turning from my sin and placing faith in him. That's true salvation. There are other ways that you can speak of salvation. Other scriptures that I could use to, again, make the point or further try to explain salvation. But I do want to just give you two additional passages just to keep in mind. One is Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. It says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. And then in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, that no one should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. If you don't have these things straight, then you cannot believe that your children are going to have these things straight. I cannot tell you how many wrong statements I've heard regarding salvation. People who believe that they are saved, and when you ask them the question, well, how do you know you're saved? You hear answers like this. Well, I was baptized. Or, God knows I have a good heart. Or, I'm good to people. I love everyone. All these different kinds of answers. Or they would say, I believe in Jesus, but have no idea of what it means to truly believe in Jesus. One of the reasons why you hear such answers from adults is because these are the same answers that they've heard from their parents. And it is possible that their parents heard it from their parents. So then you have this lie that passes from one generation to the next generation. And what makes this lie so heinous and so wicked, or this error so heinous, so wicked, so evil, is that the consequences of not having things right on salvation, the result is hell. You cannot make it to heaven having a wrong understanding or not truly understanding what Jesus Christ has done on the cross for your sins. So no, it's not by baptism. It's not by your works. It's not because you got a good heart or you have a good heart or that you treat everyone right or all of these different things that you come to because you, all these different things you come up with and say, well, I go to church, I pay my tithes and all of this. No, it's by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a surrender to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a faith in Jesus Christ. It's a repenting of our sins and placing faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and believing what the Word of God has said. Again, if the parents do not have these things right, then they are not teaching their children rightly on this. And so now the child goes through his whole life while he's not only under their roof, but when he leaves from under that roof, he's going out into the world with the wrong understanding about salvation, yet he believes that he is saved. Parents, you have to do better. You cannot expect the child to believe rightly and to have a true knowledge of salvation when you do not have it yourself. Number two, parents need to stop being a hypocrite. I mean, I thought about maybe another way of saying this, but I think this is a major issue. So if you are number one, if you are truly a Christian and not a fake Christian, then it is possible that one of the things that has happened over the years is that your child has seen you be a hypocrite, where you are professing Christianity or that you are truly a Christian, but you're not living like a Christian. That's an issue. So we don't want that to happen. You don't want to be that example. As Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 5, you hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Get the speck out of your eye, then you can teach your children how to live. How are you getting ready to teach your child how to live the Christian life, how to walk out this Christian life? And you are being a hypocrite. You are doing the very things that you know that you should not be doing, and they know that you should not be doing it. And the child remembers these things. They remember these things, and what they are now able to do is to say, you can't tell me nothing about the faith. You can't tell me nothing about right and wrong. Where here it is, you're living this false life or this hypocritical life. You're being a hypocrite. So you don't want that to be. And I've seen and I've heard how even adults now come back and point the finger at parents. And I'm not trying to say again that this gives the children the right to say that just because their parents went astray, now that they are able to go astray, or that their parents were hypocrites, so now that's just cause for them not to be followers of the word. That's not the point. But I am saying, as a true Christian, you are called to make sure that you are doing the things that you should be doing as a Christian. And let me make this one last point on this not being a hypocrite. It takes courage to do this. I've seen too many times that Christians do not have the courage to follow what the Bible says. They do not have the courage to live it out themselves, nor do they have the courage to make sure that their child is going to follow the word of God. That child is under your roof. That child is under your commands. So you must have the courage to make sure that that child is following the word of God. You must have the courage to make sure that the people that are around your child, the people that you are allowing your child to have contact with, that has this influence and constant communication with your child, you need to make sure that you have the courage to say that I'm going to protect my child from these ungodly influences. Whether that hurts someone's feelings or not, we're not intentionally trying to hurt the feelings. However, we recognize that we have a mandate from God to make sure that we are standing strong in our faith, that we're standing strong on the word of God. So we're not going to allow the world to infect us. We're not going to allow the world to infect our kids. We're going to have the courage to fight, to stand, to do those things that God has called us to do. And I'm telling you, there's just too many weak Christians. Too many weak Christians who are not willing to do this, who are not willing to fight the good fight, not only for themselves, but also for their children. And let me not even get on the men. We have too many weak men who are not being the spiritual lead that God has called them to be. And I'm not simply talking about unbelieving men who are not Christian, who are not being the spiritual lead. I'm telling you, men who profess to be Christians, men who may very well be Christian, but do not have the courage, do not have the strength, do not have the desire to lead their families, to be the spiritual lead, to be the guide, to be the protector, to be the man of God within their home, within their family that God has called them to be. They are weak men who will not step up and do what needs to be done. And the family suffers for that. The children suffer for that. And there's no excuse. There's no excuse for that type of weakness. Suggestion 3. Make sure that you belong to a solid biblical church. Just because your grandmother, just because your mother went to a certain church, just because your grandfather, whoever the family member was, just because they went to that church does not mean now that you and your family need to attend that same church. Children cannot be expected to grow in the faith when they are going to a church that is not growing in the faith. So you can take your children or send your children to a church as much as you like and believe that that is good, even though that's, again, that's not enough. But if the word of God is not being preached and not being taught, and there are not godly people there who are practicing and modeling godly behavior before this child, before your children, then it's all in vain. You want to believe that these children can be a part of such a church and they are not going to suffer for that. That there's not going to be negative consequences coming from belonging to such a church. Well, that's just wishful thinking. That's not the way it works. The church is the body of Christ, and children need to be a part of a healthy body the same way the parents need to be a part of a healthy body. And a lot of times these parents know that they are not a part of a healthy, solid biblical church. It is sad at times. It is sad to see that children at times will have more honesty and more discernment about the church than their parents. Parents will continue to defend the foolishness and corruption of churches and pastors, and this simply should not be. Parents have to do better when it comes to choosing a church and a church that they're willing to be a part of and to keep that child in that church for those amount of years. Just think about that. Where here are these kids having to spend year after year sitting up under the leadership of a blind, foolish pastor, blind, foolish, and corrupt. As Jesus says in Matthew chapter 15, verse 14, he says, "Let them alone. They are blind guides of the blind. And if a blind man guides a blind man, both will fall into a pit." So are we surprised then that if children grow up into adults and have wrong understanding, have the wrong understanding about salvation, why that happens if they're sitting under the leadership, if they're being guided by someone who is blind? You should expect then that these leaders are going to lead them to be blind. And as the scripture says, they both will fall into a pit. So parents, you have the responsibility. It is on you to make sure that the child is a part of a solid biblical church. Suggestion 4. Parents, you have to learn the Bible, and you have to be willing to teach your child the Bible. The responsibility to train up a child in the faith is your responsibility. I've already read to you again, Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6, when the scripture specifically tells us that, hey, parents, when it comes to bringing up a child in the faith, it says, train up a child the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Well, parents, it is your responsibility to bring the child up in the faith. So that means in order for you to bring the child up in the faith, you need to learn the Bible. You need to be willing to teach your child the Bible. That means you reading. That means you reading to your child. That means, again, that you must set aside time to get in the Word of God. Now, parents like to make sure that they set aside time to do other things with their children. Fathers like to make sure that they set aside time to teach their child maybe a certain sport, spend time with them, go to their ball game. So in the same way that you all make time for these other things related to their extracurricular activities, to whatever their hobbies or interests are, I'm telling you, you need to set aside time for your child and Bible reading, for you to learn the Bible and also for your child to learn the Bible and you teach your child the Bible. Jesus says, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. That's in Matthew chapter 4. So parents, the responsibility to read the Bible and to teach your children the Word of God, that is your responsibility. And our last point, parents, you need to learn some theology. When I say theology, you need to learn some things about God. You need to learn some things about the Christian faith. You need to learn Christian doctrine. And when I say Christian doctrine, doctrine is another word for teachings. You need to know what we believe as Christians. Time and time again, I see adult people, and again, I've seen this whether they were locked up, again, whether they're free, but people who simply do not know the Christian faith. They do not know what we believe and what we teach. Now, of course, this is related to reading the Bible and going to church, but I wanted to make a distinction with these points. By you not knowing certain things about the faith and refusing to learn or make the effort to learn, you are allowing Satan and false religions to take advantage of this ignorance. I will tell you now, I've come across many men who believe that other religions have provided a better answer to their questions about God, about life, or about death, or whatever. They believe that other religions have better answers. That's a problem. Too many people have said to me that their parents or people in the church could not answer certain questions that they had about the Bible and Christianity. Now, they very well could be lying and looking for an excuse, but certainly, again, we cannot believe or should not believe that all of these people are lying. So my point is, we need to have an answer. We need to know rightly what we believe about things related to our faith. We need to know what we believe when it comes to things related to God. That's theology. You should be able to explain the Trinity. Not saying that you can explain it perfectly or we have all the answers, but you should be able to give a Christian response to that. You should be able to explain that. You should be able to speak about the divinity of Jesus Christ, why we believe that Jesus is God. And again, going back to the Trinity, what we teach about the Trinity, one God revealed in three distinct persons, or what we believe about the Bible being the very words of God. These are important things. And again, when you do not know these things or do not provide an answer, or your church try to downplay these issues and act as though they are not important, you are allowing others now to come in to provide a false answer. You are allowing Satan and these false religions to come in and speak lies about the Christian faith and lead your children astray. So let me end on this note. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. But sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. It is on us as Christians to be prepared with an answer. Parents, it is on you to be prepared to give your children an answer regarding the faith. And one way you become prepared to give that child an answer is for you to know what we believe about our faith, for you to know theology. So there you have those suggestions, and I hope they have benefit to someone. Remember, that's my point. I'm trying to strengthen the body of Christ. Thank you for tuning in to Christians versus the World, and I hope you tune in for our next podcast. Thank you, and God bless you. We'll be right back.